Today's shiur is Masechta Bei Daf Chavav, and we will begin on Daf Chav Hei Amud Beis, the first wide line. We learned in the Mishnah yesterday, Shachta Besada, if the animal, which we know is allowed to be slaughtered on Yontif, was slaughtered in outdoors, from the city, outside of the city, in the field, but Yaviyana B'moit, the halacha is they can't be carried in a pole, in a box. As we explained when we learned the Mishnah yesterday, because it's an ofda d'chol when animals carried in that fashion. Along the same lines, quotes the Gemara Braisa, Tana Rabbanan, Ein asuma yoitz b'makloi, a blind person is not allowed to walk on yontif carrying a stick. V'loya roya b'tarmiloi, a shepherd may not carry his pouch. V'ein yoitz m'kisei, a person can't be carried on a chair. Echad ish v'echad isha. Male or female. And like the Mefarshim explain, we're not dealing with a situation where the person can't walk any other way. If the person has no other way of walking, he can walk. Here we're dealing with a situation where he can manage without it. And therefore, in Yontif, because of Ovda Dechol, he should not walk that way. Ask the Gemara, V'shalach Rav Yaakov Eidi, Zokin Echad Hayu B'Shchuna Seinu, there was an elderly person in our neighborhood for Yoitze Begoldekei Shaloi, and he used to walk out in this chair that they carried him above the Sholos of Yeshua Ben Levi. And they came and asked Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi if this is permitted. Vamru im rabim tzrich maloi, if he's an important person, that the community needs him, mutter. V'samcha Rabbi Sinai advarai, and they accepted that. So here we see that you are allowed to. And therefore, what we're saying now is that even though an average person cannot walk out being carried in a chair, if the person is an important person, the rabbim tzrim chaloi, it's permitted. And machlokes rishonim, what does this mean? Some say, the Torah says that even though we're being lenient for a person who's rabbim tzrim chaloi, the person has to have a need to go out this way. If the person has absolutely no need to go out this way, he may not be carry on a chair. The Ran says, once the Gemara teaches us that somebody who's rabim tzrichim loy can be carried, it makes no difference how much this person needs this chair. Ach, v'samcha rabbi sen advarai achishakya, our rabbi senu accepted what Abishakya said, tamano afikte l'raf huna, I carried Rav Huna, Mihini Lashili, or Mashili Lahini, on a chair on Yontif. Vavar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, similarly, Ana Fikti Lama Shmuel, I carried out Shmuel, Mishimsha Latula, from the sun to the shade, Umitula Lashimsha, and from the shade to the sun. I was saying you can't carry in a chair. Again, says the Gemara, Hasan Kram Tama, Mahayi Rabin Srikhaloi, if it's a person that the people need, Mutter, he could be carried out that way. Amlai, Rav Nachman L'chamer Ba'ada Shliach Tzion. Chamer Ba'ada was called a Shliach Tzion because he used to travel to Yerushalayim very often. Ki Selakta L'hosim. The next time you go to Eretz Yisrael, Akev V'zil Asum D'tzir, go out of your way, detour, to go to the city called Sum D'tzir, V'zil L'gabed Rav Yaakov Eidi, and go visit Rav Yaakov Eidi, or Boimene, and ask him the question, Kisei Ma Atun Bey, what do you hold about carrying somebody on a chair on Yontif? Ad the Ozel Hossam, until he arrived there, Noch Nafshid Rav Yaakov Eidi. Rav Yaakov Eidi had passed away. Kisolik, however, when he did arrive there, Ashkechel Rav Zreika, he didn't meet Rav Zreika. Omle, and he asked him, Kisei Ma Atun Bey, what is the halacha about being carried on a chair on Yontif? Amalei Hocha Amar Rav Ami, this is what Rav Ami said, Obvat Shloi Kasif, an important person can be carried in chair as long as he doesn't do Kisuf. Kisuf means the shoulders. Ask the Gemara, Maya Obvat Shloi Kasif, what does that mean? Amar Rav Yisabrei de Rava, Belunki. A lunki means that the two people carrying him put their hands each on the other one's shoulder, and it's a more steady way of being carried. Ask the Gemara, he let his wife Yilosa to be carried out in this way. Ask Taisus that we just learned that the only person that can be carried in a chair is somebody who's rabim tzrichim loy, that the community needs him. So says Taisus, that's not limited to men. There are women that the community needs also. Yelosa was the Reish Galusa's daughter, Rav Nachman's wife, a very important person, and she was a person that Rabbim Tzrichim loy. Says the Gemara, so how could she be carried out on the Yalunki? Says the Gemara, Shani Yelosa de Be'isa. She was scared any other way that it wasn't steady enough. Similarly, says the Gemara, Amayim Mazutra, Mekasvele B'Shasta de Rigla, they used to be carried on the Shabbos, which was 30 days before Sukkot, 30 days before Pesach. They used to have a major drasha where they would teach the tzibur, the halachos of Yontif. So when they came into this drasha, where there was a large crowd, they would be carried on this alunki fashion, mishum bisusa, because they were scared, v'amilei mishum dukha de tzibura. Another side, because there was a large crowd. So where the Mefarshim, the Menachem Meshev of Nefesh, explains the Gemara is as follows. There was a large crowd, and it was hard to weave through the crowd to get from the back of the shul to the front, where they would say the drasha. So therefore, they had to be carried in a more steady fashion, so they carried in a lunki. Another pshat, Mishum Bisusa, they didn't want tircha de tzibura. They didn't want that the people should have to stand for a while until they were carried up front. So if they weren't carried in a steady fashion, the time it would take for them to be carried from the back of the shul to the front of the shul would take longer, and the people would have to stand the entire time waiting until they got to their place. So because of that, they were carried in a more steady fashion so they could arrive to the front quicker and people could sit down sooner and have less tircha de tzibura. The halacha is that a bechor, a firstborn animal, has to be given to the kohen. However, the halacha is that if bechor is an unblemished animal, it's brought to the Beis HaMikdash as a carbon. Its rules are very similar to carbon shlamim. If it's a balmum, then the bechor is considered like a regular animal. The kohen could eat it. He could sell it. He could sell it under certain conditions. Even a guy could eat it. Bezman hazeh, Rashi points out, every bechor has to be, we have to wait till it becomes a balmum, because we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, so we can't bring it to the Beis HaMikdash as a carbon. The only option we have is to wait till it becomes a balmum, and then the kohen could use it for his own personal needs. But to determine and paskin that a bechor is a balmum is something that only specific individuals can do. And the Gemara Bechaira says that if it's not an obvious blemish, you need a yochid mumcha, an expert. Machloik is what that means. Does that mean he has to have special smicha to be able to paskin that a bechor is a balmum? Or is the fact this, that he has to be an expert? It doesn't make a difference because the Shulchan Aruch says we don't have anybody that fits that category anyway. Or if it's a more obvious blemish, three somewhat learned people could paskin. So our Mishnah, as Rashi tells us, describes a situation where a bechor fell into a pit on Yontif, and we need to identify if this bechor is balmum, and if it's balmum, not a kohen could shecht it, it's Yontif. Or it's not a balmum. So Rashi says, our Mishnah speaking bizman hazeh, where the bechor goes to the kohen for his own personal needs if it's a balmum. The Mefarshim disagree how to understand Rashi. Some say Rashi was saying that the Mishnah is talking bizman hazeh, because in the time when the Mishnah was written, there was no longer Beis HaMikdash, and that's why the only thing you could do with a bechor is wait till it becomes a balmum and a kohen use it. Others say that the Mishnah is specifically dealing with a time when there is no Beis HaMikdash. Because in a time when there is a Beis HaMikdash, if the bechor fell into the pit, we could take it out no matter what. If it's a balmum, so the kohen will use it for his own personal purposes. If it's not a balmum, so we'll bring it to the Beis HaMikdash as a carbon, which really hinges on a shaila that we discussed in the previous parak. A bechor has a din like a nedarim v'nedavis, and we saw machlokes if nedarim v'nedavis craven b'yontif may be brought on yontif or not. But be as it may, as Rashi tells us, and that's the way we're going to learn the Mishnah, a bechor b'zman hazeh fell into a pit, bechor shenafel abar, it fell into the pit, Yehuda Aima, Yered Mumcha V'yira, an expert could go down and examine this bechor, Im Yesh by Mum, if it has a Mum, Yal V'yishchait, you could raise it and shecht it, bring it up and shecht it. Memlav lo yishan. So as Rashi explains, Rabbi Yehuda's demand the omer that holds that, that of muksa. So if this bechor was an unblemished bechor in Erev Yontif, it's muksa. I can't do anything with it. So our Mishnah is obviously discussing, says Rashi, a case where this bechor was already a balmum in Erev Yontif. It might not have been gepaskind. It might not have been established by this yochid mumcha that it's a balmum, but this owner knew it's a balmum. So since he knew it's a balmum, he was expecting that the expert will say it's a balmum and he'll be able to use it. So now that it fell into the bar, Rabbi Yehuda, as the Gemara will teach us immediately, holds that Royin Mumin, the Yontif, were allowed to examine this Bechor and Yontif, and that's why he says, go examine it, and if it's a Bechor, we have no issue of Muksa, and there's no other concern, and we could, if it's a Balmum, you could use it. Rabbi Shimon, however, says, Kol She'ein Mumin Nikar Miboy Joy, Ein Zemen Amuchin. If it wasn't identified as a Balmum before Yontif, we can't look at Mumim on Yontif. And there's a machloikus Rashi in Taisus, how to understand Rabbi Shimon. Rashi says, we're not allowed to look at a Bechor if it's a Balmum on Yontif, because the Halacha says, Rashi, is that it looks like Mesakin. Till now it was unusable, as we said, a Bechor that's unblemished is unusable. Now I make it usable by declaring it's a Balmum, and that's why Mesakin is Asur on Yontif. Rashi says another reason, because it looks like it's done as Hadin. That I'm paskening on Yontif. The Farshim ask on that pshat, because why is the halacha that you're not allowed to paskin a din Torah on Yontif? Because when you're paskin a din Torah, Shem Yichtav, you may come to write the verdict. Here there's nothing to write. So the Farshim say that once Chazal said that we're not allowed to paskin a din Torah on Yontif, it makes no difference if this is something that we're going to write or not. Lo plug, not allowed to be done. Others say that the concern is that because the person is anxious to be able to eat the animal, as we learned, Simchas Yontif, he wants to eat meat, he may not examine the animal properly. And therefore, Chazal said that the animal should not be examined on Yontif. That's how Rashi learns the Gemara. Tosfos takes this pshat, very interesting Tosfos, takes this pshat one step further. As we learned when we said it, when we began the Masechta, we're accustomed to saying, Rabbi Yehuda islay muksa. Rabbi Yehuda subscribes to the concept of muksa. Rabbi Shimon leslay muksa. Rabbi Shimon doesn't subscribe to muksa. But when we began the Masechta, we said that's not a hard and fast law, rule. It's not that Rabbi Shimon doesn't subscribe to muksa. He has a more limited application, but he holds a muksa. Says Tosfos, since Rabbi Shimon holds that we're not allowed to look at a Bechor if it's about Muman Yontif, so therefore, if it wasn't declared about Mum before Yontif, it's Muksa. Because Rav Shimon holds that if I have no use for it, even Rav Shimon subscribes to the concept of Muksa. And therefore, Taisa says, according to Rav Shimon, it's not just that I'm not allowed to declare it about Mum. Because it wasn't declared about Mum before Yontif, it attains the status of Muksa. According to Yehuda, who has normally the broader application of Muksa, since I'm allowed to look at it, I don't make it into Muksa, because I'm expecting that I'll be able to decide if it's a Balmum or not. But now that we discussed the Shaila, if you could look at a Bechor, the Mefarshim ask a number of questions. If so, that you're not allowed to pass in the Shaila, as Rashi says, Shem Yisakein, or Dona Sadin, so what's going to be the halacha, the Mishnah Berurah quotes a Trumas Hadeshin, if somebody has in his house a chicken, and he doesn't know if it's kosher or not kosher, so could he go to the Rav and Paskin? He was saying that you're not allowed to decide a Bechor according to Rav Shimon is a Balmum. So the Trumas Hadeshin says there's a very fundamental difference. He says, a chicken that's kosher or not kosher, is kosher or not kosher. I may not know the answer. I have to go to the Rav to tell me if it's kosher or not kosher. But it's kosher all the time. On the other hand, the Bechor, it's not just he has to tell me is it a Balmum or not. He has to change its status. Till now it was a Bechor that has the Kedushas Bechor, and now I'm changing the status. That's not the same. Similarly, the Mefarshim ask, we learned that according to certain Manda Amrim, we could be Toivel Akeli on Yontif, under certain circumstances. So the question is, how can we be Toivel Akeli? It's Mesakin. The answer is, it's different. A Bechor before it was declare the Baal Mum is useless. It's Kegdish. A Keli that's Tamei, it may not have all the ability I could do with a Tardig Keli, but it has use. So therefore, it's not the same. But then I saw another Shaila. The halacha is, according to Rav Shimon, if a Koyin paskind that a Bechor is a Baal Mum, if a Ra paskind that a Bechor, if a Yochid Mumcha paskind that a Bechor is a Baal Mum, what he did is useless. It's worthless. It's meaningless. We have to redo it after Yontif. What's going to be the halacha? We discussed the Shaila many times. We have Tevel. And we're not supposed to be mafresh Trumas and Maisers and Yontif. What would be the halacha if somebody did it? The halacha is not going to be that what he did is meaningless. Why is by Bechor we say what the Rav Paskin is meaningless? Because it's Tikkun. And why by the Tevel do we say it's not meaningless? So I saw a number of answers to this question. One answer is that Tevel is really like we said before. It's Truma and Chula mixed together. And all we're doing is identifying what was what always. But that really depends if you hold a Breira. So I saw other answers. One answer is, Tevel is not the same as a Bechor. A Bechor from the moment that it's born is Muksa until it loses that status. Tvua, as we said many times, until the processing is complete, is mutter. It's only when the processing is complete does it have the shame tevel. So tevel is less of an isser than bechor. Another answer is a very nice answer. If a rav said this bechor is a baal mum, and then we say what you did is meaningless. So it's meaningless, and I'll do it over after yontif. If somebody went and he was mafresh trumas and maisres, so halachically what he did is very valid. If now we're going to say what you did is invalid, he'll mix up the truma back into the tchulin. And he'll just prohibit everything. So we have no choice but to allow him to do it. Because the repercussions of saying what you did is meaningless is going to end up that you have truma and maaser mixed together with tchulin. Another answer is, by a bechor, I rely on somebody else. We can't pass in our own shaylas. We need the yachad mumcha. Tevel is done by the person himself. And that's why Hafrashas Trumas and Maisras. That's why Hafrashas Trumas and Maisras is not as serious as a Shaila as Bechor. Says the Gemara, as we just explained, B'mai Kamifki, what is the basis of the Machlokes of Yehuda of Shimon if we look or don't look at a Mum on Yontif? If you're going to say B'roi Mum and Kamifki, as we just explained, you allowed it declare a bechor's ba mum. The Rabbi Yehuda savim roim mum beyond the Yehuda says you're allowed to. Rabbi Shimon savim ain roim mum beyond the, you're not allowed to. So ask the Gemara. So why don't we make the case of the Mishnah very simple? The lufkli beroim mum the alma. Why do we have to make a complicated case that the bechor fell into the bar? Just say, are you or are you not allowed to examine the bechor? Answers the Gemara. Bechor shenaf lebal itzruchalei. There's a special chiddush in this case because sakadat chamina. Mishum tsar balachayim, larim v'leskei kervishua b'leiv kervishua k'mashmon. We're going to learn a Mishnah later in the Masechta. The halach is, the Torah tells us, oisav espanoi lo sishchatu b'yom echad. A mother and its baby, you're not allowed to shecht on the same day. So the Mishnah discusses the cases where both of these animals, a mother and its baby, fell into a bar on Yontif. So Rabbi Lezer says you could only take out one, and the other one has to be left there, because you can't shecht the other one. Rabbi Yeshua says you could do a harama, a subterfuge. Take out one animal, because I'm going to use it, and then say, you know what, I changed my mind, I'm going to use the other one. So says the Gemara, perhaps I should allow you to do this here too. That you should be allowed to take out the Bechor, do the subterfuge, and then decide if it's about mum or not, k'mash mlon, that we're not allowed to do that. And like Meiri explains, what's the difference? The difference is very obvious. Over there, at least one animal is, both animals are really kosher. There's a technical issue, you can't shecht both on the same day. Here, if this animal is not a baal mum, you can't touch it. And therefore you can't compare the two cases. So what's the havamina, says the Miri? The havamina is that I would think because of the great and important concept of tsar baal chayim, I should be allowed to do it, k'mashmon, that tsar baal chayim can't help you here because the bechor may be not movable. However, says Dar Zerua, even though we're not allowed to take the Bechor out until we, at least according to Rabbi Yehuda, until we declare the Baal Mum, and let's say we don't declare the Baal Mum, or let's say we don't have a Yochid Mumcha,
we have to leave it there. There is somewhat a concept of Tzar Bal Chaim, and we give the animal food in the pit. We shouldn't let it starve.
Ask the Gemara, Ihochi lo yishchot. What does the Mishnah say? Im yesh be mum, yal v'yishchot. Vim lav lo yishchot. The point isn't the shchita. Lo yal v'yishchot mibayle. Like Rashi says, the point is, if you go in and check and it's about mum, then you can take it out. And if not, you can't take it out. What does the Mishnah say? Lo yal v'yishchot. Says the Gemara, lo tzricha de ovav aske. The person should have sent the yochid mumcha in to check. Instead of doing that, he took it out first. I would think that he should be allowed to shecht it. Kamash one that he's not allowed to. Says the Gemara, if you took it out and it's still not a balmum, how could you shecht it? Lishchetei hatamhu. You're not allowed to use it for your own use. Answers the Gemara, like tzrichet nafa by mum. That when it fell in, it had a mum. So not the way we explain the Mishnah. The Mishnah is speaking about a case that it was a perfectly fine animal, Erev Yontif. Then when it fell in, the bunt of it falling in caused it to have a mum. And that's what the Mishnah is telling us, that you still can't use it. So Zimmer, of course you can't. If it was a perfectly fine animal, Erev Yontif, everybody will agree it's muksa, even Rabbi Yehuda. So how could you now use it? Once it was muksa ben Hashmashas, it remains muksa the whole Yontif. V'muksahu! Says the Gemara, El Nafubei Mum Oivim Erev Yontif. The Gemara explains what happened here was, this animal had some sort of a damage, Erev Yontif, but it wasn't a permanent blemish. For Hashta, because of its fall, Havlei Mum Kavua. Now, the fall caused that it should be complete, permanently damaged. Madatei Medata Alevei. I would think, since it had somewhat of a blemish before Yontif, it lost the status of Muksa, because the owner already knows that this animal is getting weak, and therefore, if now it's declared about Mum on Yontif, I should be v'nishchatei, allowed to shecht it. Kamash Malon, if it did not have a permanent Mum, Erev Yontif, everybody will agree. Even Rabbi Yehuda, who says that you're allowed to examine an animal on Yontif, will agree that this animal I can't do anything with. Tan Rabban, says the Braisa, L'chor Tom Shnaf L'bor. So there are two versions of this Braisa. First we're going to learn, that's the way we're going to learn the Gemara, the version that we have in our Gemara. We have here a different case than the Mishnah. Because the way we've been explaining the Mishnah, the Bechor that fell in was an animal that an Erev Yontif I already saw had a permanent blemish. Just, it was never declared to be a Balmum. Here the Brice is speaking about that the Bechor was a perfectly fine Bechor Erev Yontif. Says Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, and now it fell into the bar. Says Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, Yered Mumcha V'yira, a Mumcha should go in and examine it. If Yesh by Mum, if it has a Mum, Yalav Yishchait, you should be allowed to shecht it. V'mlav lo yishchait. So now we have an obvious question. The question that Tosfos asks. If it's a Bechor Tam, an Erev Yontif, it's certainly Muksa. Because I couldn't use it. So how could Rabbi Yehuda Nasi say that I could just examine it, and if it's a Bal Mum, use it? Why are we going to do with the problem of Muksa? So Tosfos answers, this is the way Rosh Hash explains Tosfos. As we said at the beginning of this sugya, a Bechor until it's Bal Mum, Bezman Hazeh, and we said Rashi teaches us that Al Gemara is talking Bezman Hazeh, is useless. So every person that has a Bechor Tam is sitting and waiting, when is it going to become Bal Mum? Until then I have nothing to do with it. So he never is Max Dathmimenu. He never takes it out of his head. He's always sitting, Yoshiv Mitzap, he's always sitting and waiting, it should become Bal Mum. And therefore, even though Erev Yontif, it was a Bal Mum, it's not Muksa. That's the version Tosfos and the first Lashon of Rashi learns. The other version of Rashi, it takes out the word Tam. It's talking about Bechor Shenof Labar, and we're talking that it already was a Bal Mum and Erev Yontif, it was just never declared, that's why it's not Muksa. Rav Shimon, Rav Nasi Omer, Harei Omer, he tells Rabbi Yehuda, how could you be so lenient? Harei Omer, a Roy Mum be Yontif. We're not allowed to examine a Bechor and Yontif, Ketzat, nor a Bal Mum Erev Yontif. If the Bechor already had a Mum and Erev Yontif, Taloch is Eim Vakner Sebe Yontif. You're not allowed to examine it on Yontif. Moreover, nor a Bal Mum be Yontif, if it only developed the blemish on Yontif, Rav Shimon Amir ain't zem menemuchen. You're certainly not allowed to use this Bechor because it was Muksa. The Shavin, furthermore, says the Gemara, Shem noilet hu umume imay, if an animal has a Bechor on Yontif, here everybody agrees she's emin amuchen, that you can use it. Why? Because, we'll explain soon why, but since it was born on Yontif, it was a muksa at the beginning, because the animal was only born on Yontif, so it was not muksa ben ashmoshes. So now we had, just to stop for a moment and understand, we have three cases. We have a case where the animal was blemished in Erev Yontif, just never declared as a bamum. We have a case where the animal was fine Erev Yontif and developed a blemish on Yontif. And then we have a case where the animal was born on Yontif with a blemish. Says the Gemara, Dar Shrav Barav Huna, Noilet Hu Umume Imoy, this third case where the animal was born with a mum on Yontif, here we could be so lenient that Mevakonos be Yontif L'chatchila, we could even examine it L'chatchila on Yontif. Amalei, Rav Nachman, Abatani, my father said a different version, that in this case where the animal was born with a mum, but not as lenient as you are, to say L'chatchila, we're allowed to examine it, only in Avru Bikroi, if you examined it, Mevukr, it's separate. And you're saying, he asks him, V'vakun oysa l'chatchila, he says, you're being too lenient. Om Rabbaya, it says Abaya, Kavaseid Rabbi Rav Huna Mestabra. Rabbi Rav Huna's version, that an animal, a bechor that's born on Yonta with a mum, l'chatchila we're allowed to examine, is correct. What's his proof? From the braisa that we just quoted on top of the Amid. Midatani Tlosi Bobby. In the braisa we just learned, as we explained, there are three cases. The first case was the Nola Bamum Erev Yontif, that it had a blemish in Erev Yontif. The Deir Aloch is, Eim Vakner Esoy B'Yontif L'Chatchila. L'Chatchila you're not allowed to examine it. What does that mean? L'Chatchila Hu Deloy. L'Chatchila you're not allowed to examine it. Hadiyavit Shapadami. But the Evid, if you did examine this animal that had this Bechor that had a Mum from Erev Yontif, it's fine. The next case was, Nola Bamum B'Yontif, where the Mum was only developed in Yontif. There, Rav Shimon Oimer ends them in a muchim. It's completely muksa. They feel the yavid namiloi. Even the yavid, you can't examine it. The hadatani in the third case is v'shavin that everybody agrees. Shenoyle hu umume imoy, that if the animal was born with a mum, shezem in a muchim. They feel a chatchila nami. So the way Rashi explains this gemara is beautiful. The Braisa mentions three distinct cases. Again, what are the three distinct cases? If it had a mum from Erev Yontif, if the mum developed on Yontif, and if it was born with a mum on Yontif. So if the halacha says Rashi, in explanation of the Gemara, in all three cases, is different, I can understand why the Braisa mentions it in three separate cases. The first case is that only with the Evid you could check it. The second case, even with the Evid you can't check it. And the third case is the L'chatchila you could check it. But, if the halacha is that the animal, the b'char that's born with a mum, is only with the Evid, also permitted to be checked, so that's the exact same din as the case when I had a mum from Erev Yontif. So says the Gemara, why is the Braisa dividing it into three cases? It should be two cases. There should be one status of the Yevid, it's alright. And there should be another status that even the Yevid, it's not alright. The fact that the Braisa decided to divide it into three separate cases is a proof that each case has its own din. And the third case, when the Bechor was born on Yontif with a mum, even L'chatchila could examine it. Ask the Gemara, the Kiyos Revoisha, Osavaisim, Esnis B'yodei. And this is the way Masha explains this Gemara. He had a different version. His version, indeed, is the Bench Noel Mum Erev Yontif, whether the blemish was there from Erev Yontif, or Bench Noel Mum Be Yontif, or if the blemish was there on Yontif. Everybody agrees, Chacham Oimer Ein Zeman Amuchen. That, even B'diyev, is not acceptable. So now we take the case when it was born with a Mum, one notch down, says the Masha, and don't say that it's mutal chatchila, it's only mutal b'diyavit. Ask the Gemara, v'alkashahach, we just quoted a braisa, and the way we explained the braisa, that since the braisa divided into three cases, isn't that a clear proof that it's different and it's mutal chatchila? Says the Gemara, that braisa is not a question. Hahi, that braisa was quoted by Adabam Uchmi, the Meshabish V'tani. That he used to quote the braisas incorrectly. Even from our Mishnah, we could prove that an animal that was born with a mum is only mutter b'diavid. The Tani, because what did we learn in the Mishnah? Shimon Oimer, as we just finished when we learned the Mishnah, we explained it this way. Kol she'ena mum nikma erev yontif, if the mum is not visible erev yontif, ein zeh min amukam. It's muksa. My aim mumanika. What does that mean? Ilay mishem mumanika klal that has no blemish at all. Pshita tzvich lemeima. It's muksa if it has no mum. Elo, what's the case that I had a mum? However, the lois chazi lechachem erev yontif. I never had an opportunity to let the yochid mumcha declare it about mum. In mum kavuhu, if it's a permanent blemish, in mum over. So our Mishnah is discussing a case that I had this mum in erev yontif, and what is the Mishnah saying? K'tani miyis ein zemen amuchim. That even b'dievet it may not be examined according to Rav Shimon. Shema minot, that according to Rav Shimon, an animal that had the mum erev yontif, but wasn't declared about mum erev yontif, is not even allowed to be checked with the Evid, and therefore the case below it, the animal that was born with the Mumon Yontif, is not as stringent, but it's not as lenient as Rabbi Barafuna said. It can be checked, but only with the Evid. We begin now an interesting sugya. This is the way that Afika Yam helps us understand the sugya. The halacha is, in Muksa, Miga des Katsoyle ben Ashmoshes des Katsoyle kula yoyma. The defining moment for Muksa is Bein HaShemoshes. Why? So Mefarshim explain, this to what I said, the Afika Yam says. What is the concept of Muksa? The Torah Kedosha says, V'chinu eshi yaviyu. Everything that we're going to use for Shabbos requires Hachana. So if something is Mukhin, if something is prepared by Bein HaShemoshes, it's considered prepared and can be used on Shabbos, Yontif. If it's not prepared by Bein HaShemoshes, it's not Mukhin. The Gemara now begins to discuss a situation where something was fine Bein HaShemoshes, and the Gemara will give us examples, and then Bein HaShemoshes, then during Shabbos it became Muksa. So while it's Muksa, it's Muksa. And now the question is, after it loses whatever made it Muksa, whatever issue made it into Muksa, is it still Muksa or not? Says the Afika Yam, didn't we say that Bein HaShemoshes is the defining moment? Here it was a Muksa Bein HaShemoshes. So what's the Gemara Shaila? Says the Afika Yam, that it started Bein HaShemoshes as not being Muksa. Something caused it to be Muksa on Shabbos. So the Gemara's question, says the Afika Yam, is, if something caused it to be Bein Muksa during Shabbos, it's not the same article that I had Bein HaShemoshes. Bein HaShemoshes, it was an article that is not Muksa, and now, during Shabbos, it became Muksa, so it's not one and the same item. And this new item wasn't Mukhin, because this new item was only created in Shabbos. And we said that everything for Shabbos requires Hachana. So therefore, even if it loses that problem, it's not an item that was Mukhin, and therefore cannot be used the rest of Shabbos. And the Gemara will give us examples to help us understand what we just said. However, the Mashal says, the Gemara's discussion here, 2 points. While it's Muksa, while it has this issue, it certainly muksa. The question is only when it loses it. And says the Mashal a step further. The question only is regarding achila. Can I eat it after it loses the muksa status? Regarding tiltal, it's certainly mutter after it loses the muksa status. Where is this relevant? I saw gevaldige shaila halacha l'maisa. We know that halacha is that in Erev Pesach, we don't eat matzah. What would be the halacha if somebody, it's Erev Pesach Shabbos, he has a challah, but he needs lacha mishnah. And the only thing he has in his home is a matzah. Is the matzah muksa or not? He can't eat matzah on Shabbos Erev Pesach. But you are, al pi din, allowed to eat matzah Friday night of Erev Pesach Shabbos. So since when Shabbos began, it was a muksa. And now my whole shail is not to eat the matzah. I just want to be able to use this matzah as lacha mishnah. We just finished saying that the Mashal taught us that anything that's muks, that only became muks on Shabbos, there it's only an issue of achila, not tiltal, so we certainly can use it for lecha mishnah. Says the Gemara, "Boy minei hil merova, yesh muks lachati Shabbos, ein muks lachati Shabbos." Could something, if something becomes muks during Shabbos, does it remain muks for the rest of Shabbos or not? So the Gemara analyzes exactly what is the case that we're trying to understand. Hey chidami, ei de echsi ben hashmoshes, if it was usable ben hashmoshes. If Bein HaShemoshes it wasn't usable, it became Muksa. Migad is Katsoy Bein HaShemoshes, it's Katsoy L'Kula Yoyma. Says the Gemara, Letzrich the Ichsi, it was usable Bein HaShemoshes, V'hod the Itchi, then it became unusable, V'hod the Ichsi. and now became usable again. My, what is the halacha? Amla yesh muksa. If during Shabbos it became muksa, it remains muksa for the rest of Shabbos. Eisvei, ask the Gemara, let's learn our Mishnah. The Shavin, everybody agrees, Shimnoilit umumoy imoy, that if an animal was born with a bamum, Shazam minamuchin. Ask the Gemara, Vamai, Neima, Hai Bechor, Mikar Avachazi, Agavimai. This animal, let's say, was born Shabbos morning. Friday night, where was the Bechor? In its mother's womb. The Gemara Masechta, not Friday night, we're talking Yontif. Yontif by night, where was it? In its mother's womb. The Gemara Masechta Chulin says that if you shecht a mother and it has in it a Bechor is only Petarechim when it comes out of its mother's womb in a natural childbirth. So here, you could have eaten it Friday night, Yontif by night. Let's say Yontif is Tuesday. So if Monday night you would have shechted this mother, you could eat the Bechor. It wasn't a Bechor. Isyalalei, the moment it's born, itchalei, it becomes a Bechor that wasn't declared a Balmum. Achsel Chochem, then after we show it to the Chochem, to the Yochem Mumcha, and he declares it a Balmum, ishtrilei. So we see that ain't Muksa l'chatzi Shabbos. Because what happened here? It was not Muksa, then it was Muksa, and then it was not Muksa, and it's Mutter. Om Rabbi, Vitamer of Safra, that's not the case. The case is, Kigoyin the Yasvi, the Yanu Hossam. The Dayanu was sitting by the mother as it had this baby, and as it came out of its mother's womb, it was declared a Balmum, so it was never Muksa. Because it never became a Bechor and then declared Balmum. As it was born, it was immediately declared Balmum. So we have no proof to the Shaila of Yesh Muksa L'Chatzi Shabbos or Ein Muksa L'Chatzi Shabbos. Ikadamri, another version of this Gemara. Amalei, Ein Muksa L'Chatzi Shabbos. Something that only becomes Muksa on Shabbos doesn't remain Muksa. Says the Gemara, Leim Masailei, perhaps we'll have a proof to this concept, because we just learned, V'shabim Shinoilet Amumay Imoy, that if an animal, a Bechor is born on Yontif, Shizam Anamuchim. Ask the Gemara, why is it not Muksa? For Bechor Mikor Hava, at the beginning of Yontif, it was not Muksa because it was part of its mother. Chazi Agav Imay. It's Yalalei, then when it's born, Itchalei, because it's a Bechor. And then Ichse L'Chochem, when the Chochem looks at it, and declares it about Mum, Ishtrilei. So we see that we don't say Muksa L'Chatzi Shabbos. Amalei, Amrabaya, Vitayma Rav Safra, that's not a proof. Why is it not a proof? Kigoyin the Yasvid the Yonah Hossam. We're dealing with a situation that the Yonim are sitting there, and since the Yonim are sitting there, they are the ones that are telling us that it's about Mum, so it never had a status of Muksa. But perhaps, at this point, if something does become Muksa on Shabbos, even if it loses the issue that made it into Muksa, it remains Muksa for the rest of Shabbos. Tashma. So Gemara brings another proof. The prototype of Muksa that everybody agrees to is what's called Groigers v'tzmukim. Groigers v'tzmukim are dates, or actually figs, or grapes that were taken up to dry, to the roof. And while they're going through the drying process, they're inedible. So even Rav Shimon says that they're muksa. Says the Brice, Hayoichel ben Nevin, somebody's eating grapes, for Hayser v'helen l'gag. He takes them up to the roof, last man to make them to make them to raisins. B'teinim, for Hayser v'helen last man groigris, Layoichel, atchi yazmin b'join. Unless the person knew that he's going to be able to eat them on Yontif, he's not allowed to eat them. V'kenat the mitzah, similarly, but fraskim v'chavushim, different types of fruits, u'shal mine komine peris, that if I took them up to dry, then they're muksa, unless I said I'm going to eat them. Ask the Gemara, what is the case that this Bryce is discussing? Hechidami, idachazu, if they were edible, bein hashmashas, lamali azmana. The fact that they're edible, and like the Olam Mefarshim explained, if they're edible, even though I don't know that they're edible, let's say I took them up to the roof, and I never had a chance to examine if they're edible. It makes no difference. The fact is that these are edible fruit, and edible fruit is not muksa. If on the other hand, idaloi chazu, they're inedible, ki azmin lumay hava. What's the difference if I made azmana? Could I make azmana on a stone and say it shouldn't be muksa? It's a stone! It's groigris, it's mukim. V'chi teima deloi yada. Perhaps we're dealing with a situation the person doesn't know. Ichazo loy chazo. says the Gemara, as we just explained. Rav Kahana, Muktzah Shiyavish, if I took up these things to dry, and I, the Ein Habala Makirimba, I don't know its status, Taloch is Mutter. Elaf, what must be the case of this Brisa? The Chazu, that they were edible at the beginning of Shabbos, V'itchu, and then during Shabbos, they became inedible, V'chod Echsa, and now they became, again, edible. V'amrit, says the Gemara to make it point, a muksa, that if at the beginning of Shabbos, it was a muksa, even if during Shabbos at a certain point it was muksa, if that issue goes away, it's no longer muksa, lama lazmana, why do I have to be mazminit? If it wasn't muksa at the beginning of Shabbos, and a muksa l'chatzi Shabbos, there's no problem. Elamai, says the Gemara, yesh muksa, what are you going to say? That if it becomes muksa during Shabbos, it remains muksa for the rest of Shabbos. If that's the case, so what's the braisa telling me ki asman lu? Even if I was mazmanit, my hava, why would my asmana help? If it's inherently muksa, hasmana can't help. Says the Gemara, loitzrich, the case is like this. Dichsuv alayachsu. It's somewhat edible. Deik inshi de'achli. There are people that sometimes eat it in this state. Deik inshi de'loyachli. And there are people that don't eat it this way. Asmin, if the person showed that he made hasmana, goli date, that to him it's edible, and it's not muksa. Loy asmin, if he doesn't make hasmana, loy goli date. And as the Rishonim explained, this, the word hasmana is not really the correct word here. The right word here is gili das. Is this to you a fruit, or is this to you groigris with smukim? We don't know. The only way we'll know is by you telling us what you hold. So we have no proof still to the shayla of yesh muksa l'chatzi Shabbos or ein muksa l'chatzi Shabbos. Amar of Zeira, Toshma, Mipulim v'adashim. Let's look at beans. Pulim v'adashim, beans are edible raw, right? You could eat peas. The mikara chazal lukas, they're edible. Shedina v'kada'ira, every yontif, we're allowed to cook beans. You can make a cholent on yontif. Now, at the beginning when you start cooking those beans, itchlu, they're not edible. Because while in the beginning of the cooking phase, they're not raw, and they're not cooked. So they're inedible. Gom b'shalayu, then when they complete the cooking, chazalu. So if we're going to say yesh muksa l'chatzi Shabbos, so while they were, or yesh muksa l'chatzi yontif, while they were cooking, they were inedible. They were muksa. So how could I eat it afterwards? Must be that ein muksa l'chatzi Shabbos. Amu abaya, ulatameich, tipshlach k'teres dalmo. If this is your proof, why don't we bring a proof from every cooked item? Dostam k'deres ba'alma, regularly food, bein hashmoshes, which we said at the beginning of this sugya, is the defining moment for muksa, roises chen. The boiling hat, inedible. You can't eat something that hot. Ula orta, achlina minayu. So here the question's even greater. Here was muksa bein hashmoshes. It was inedible bein hashmoshes. It was boiling hot. So why isn't it muksa for the rest of Shabbos? Why don't we say that it was inedible bein hashmoshes? It was too hot. Amigad is katsoil bein hashmoshes. Is katsoil kula yoyma. Ella, why is that not a question? Because gomer b'day adam loy kumi boilon. Something that we can control, that we could cool it off, that doesn't make a muksa. Groigris at smukim is not in our control. Groigris at smukim is not in our control. Why is it not in our control? Because it depends on all sorts of weather conditions. Is it going to be hot? Is it going to be rainy? So that's why if it was groigris with smukim bein hashmoshes, it remains muksa. However, something being hot, we could fix. You put in a little cold water, you'll do whatever you have to do. That's no shayla, is not muksa. And we don't say that it's muksa if it was hot bein hashmoshes, and certainly not muksa if it was hot during yontif, or was in the cooking process, and during the cooking process it wasn't edible. Ki kama boile, the shayla is gomer b'dei shemayim, something that we don't control. Which means, the shayla that we said before, it was not groigris with smukim bein hashmoshes, then on Shabbos it became groigris with smukim. It's not in my control to reverse that, and then it became edible again, yesh muksa l'chatzi Shabbos, ei muksa l'chatzi Shabbos. And the Gemara ends the sugya without answering it. Halach l'maisa, most rishonim, and the Shulchan Aruch paskin, that we say ei muksa l'chatzi Shabbos. So even if it was inedible for a poor, if it was edible bein hashmoshes, using the grugs with smukim example, then it became inedible
and then it became edible, then the halacha is that it's not muksa. And there are certain shayles that are very relevant to halacha l'maisa based on this gemara. But Shlomo Zalman Orbach says there's an interesting Mishnah Berurah. So the Mishnah Berurah says if somebody had clothing that were wet, Erev Yontif, and Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif, Ben Hashmashas, so they're muksa, because you can't wear them wet, and they're not usable. Says Shlomo Zalman Orbach, that's only in a case where I don't know if it's going to dry over Shabbos and Yontif. But let's say I have something that's wet, Ben Hashmashas. And then, I know, we feel it, Ben Hashmashas, it's wet, but it's not that wet. 2-3 hours into Shabbos, into Yontif, it'll be dry. So he says it's the same as the pat. That's hat, Ben Hashmashas, and it's mutter. Even though the Mishnah Berurah says wet clothing. He says the Mishnah Berurah, when he says wet clothing, is only discussing something that was not in my control, and I don't know what will be its status throughout Shabbos or Yom Tov. Then the Prima Gadol discusses an interesting shaila. He says, what's going to be the halacha? Somebody has a pat of food at home, and he thinks it's treif. He thinks a non-kosher piece of meat is in there. And he, therefore, to him it's muksan. Non-kosher meat is muksan Shabbos Yom Tov, right? Then, it turns out that somebody comes and tells me, you know, this piece of meat is kosher. So is it muksa or not? What does that mean? It's muksa betos. He made it into muksa because of a mistake. Supreme God says it's not the same as our Gemara. And our Gemara, we knew that the pot is going to cool off. We knew that the beans will get cooked. Here, as far as I was concerned, I thought that this will remain non-kosher. Now when somebody comes and tells me that it's kosher, that doesn't change its status, and it's not, and it remains muksa. That's what the Prima Gadim says. The Shmir Shabbos Kelchasai is not so clear to agree with the Prima Gadim, and he says that it's a muksa betas is similar to Gomer B'day Adam. And therefore he says that it may not be muksa even under those circumstances.
Rashi explains.